And look, if you've been on Twitter in the past week and a bit, you've probably seen the thread of anti-vaccination tweets that Nicki Minaj has posted to her millions of followers. In her posts, Nicki Minaj detailed a third-hand anecdote of genital swelling as a reaction to the coronavirus vaccine, despite there being no evidence to suggest that any fertility-related side effects exist. By making this public stance, Nicki has put her fans who loyally follow her into potentially life-threatening positions. While, not a sentence I thought I'd say in this lifetime or the next, but this viral debate, though, has revealed much about the dangers of celebrities spreading misinformation and how this notion normalizes a culture of political tribalism. And to discuss this further, we're chatting with Dr. Sarah Olotola, an assistant professor of writing at Lakehead University in Canada. Thank you for joining us, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What are some of the potential issues that can result from celebrities such as Nicki publishing false information on social media?
Well, definitely, as you said, you know, there's a lot of danger here, especially because in today's political climate, there's this idea of tribalism where somebody must always sort of affiliate with the ideas of their political tribe, whether they're right-wing or left-wing. And also fandom tribalism. It's very similar to political tribalism in which a fandom of, for example, a singer like Nicki Minaj will feel compelled to push them to the top of the charts, but also agree with what they say and defend them against any kind of criticisms. And that means that somebody might come to believe what Nicki Minaj thinks simply because they feel like they have that loyalty, that they owe that loyalty to Nicki.
Great. I just can't believe we're talking about this in the year of our Lord 2021. But, you know, that's just me. How dangerous do you think it is to be promoting these types of messages? So to these fans who it seems like unquestioningly support any opinion that she has. The fans, by the way, for the listeners who don't know, they refer to themselves as Barbs, as in Barbie, you know, so Barbs. So, but how dangerous is it for her to say these sorts of things about a cousin's friend's testicles?
Well, I mean, it means something that Trinidad and Tobago's health minister 2 days later debunked the claim, right? These are unverified claims and it's misinformation. And when you spread misinformation, you can sway people from taking what is essentially a potentially life-saving medicine. I mean, Wall Street Journal has mentioned recently that unvaccinated people are 11 times as likely to die from COVID-19 as vaccinated people. The New York Times stated that 1 in 4 hospitals now report that 95% of ICU beds are occupied. And this can be incredibly difficult for people who just need ICU support, whether for COVID-related issues or for non-COVID-related issues. So spreading misinformation that might sway people from getting this medicine might lead huge swaths of people to not get vaccinated, and they could potentially become very sick from this.
What do you think it is that people are so quick to believe a celebrity's anecdotal-based advice in, you know, 240 characters, as opposed to the litany of evidence-backed advice that experts have been providing us about vaccination? Why do you think people look at a Nicki Minaj tweet, for example, and say, oh, well, it must be true, as opposed to the evidence put forward by others?
Well, I think that a lot of it just has to do with this parasocial relationship between fans and whoever they're a fan of, whether it's, you know, Nicki Minaj or some actor, a K-pop group even. Sometimes people feel like they know the celebrity and that they have this personal connection with celebrities a lot more than a scientist, somebody, or a pundit on a news channel. And, you know, with that parasocial relationship comes loyalty. And oftentimes that means that fans like to close ranks around a celebrity when they feel that that celebrity is being attacked. They'll automatically take that celebrity's side. Of course, there are fans who will critically think about the situation, hopefully. But I think that the current climate that we're in with social media and parasocial relationships discourages critical thinking.
Do you think that, you know, we've had fans of different musicians going back since popular music came, you know, I'm thinking of like A Hard Day's Night, where the Beatles are being chased down the streets by screaming, adoring fans. Do you think that it's something about the platforms in themselves? Is there something to the way in which we interact now that you can have, you know, Nicki Minaj seemingly talking to you in a more kind of specific, again, like, I guess intimate might be the word I would use, like way, yeah, as opposed to a broadcast or a missive out to fans?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about just how easily accessible celebrities are on TikTok, on Twitter, on Instagram. You know, celebrities are always doing Instagram lives and they're reading and responding to their fans' comments, you know, as they're speaking, as this live is going on. Sometimes celebrities will retweet fans or follow fans. So there's definitely, you know, whereas there was more of a barrier between the fan and the artist before all of the social media has made the relationship closer. Now, the irony is that they're still strangers. You know, even if you're a fan of Nicki Minaj, she doesn't know you. She's still a stranger. But the feeling is different. And I think that sways people's emotions in a different way.
I mean, if you think about it, what I always think about when I see celebrities posting pretty, like, you know, seemingly intimate stuff on their social media accounts is that, are they the only person who's got the login to that? Like, how many, like, it's not them. It's that conflation of a Twitter account that says Nicki Minaj isn't necessarily always Nicki Minaj. You know, it's not just her sitting at home tweeting about her cousins and friends' different ailments. It's there are other people who have access to that. There's still those gateway, not gateways, kind of those gates that lock you out as an individual. You don't know them.
Exactly. You know, we always have to consider that some celebrities have PR people who are running their accounts. Like, for example, I don't think Beyonce certainly runs her Twitter account.
Beyonce has never looked at Instagram personally before. She's got somebody, she pays someone to do that. If you're that rich, you're personally not like sitting around scrolling, are you, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are absolutely celebrities who are like that and say, you know what, I'll give my password over to my PR representative and leave it at that. And typically, I think that's probably a little better. It's the better choice for celebrities to make. But a lot of celebrities, you'll be very surprised. A lot of celebrities like to have that instant gratification of being able to speak to their fans directly. And you can often tell when the way that they tweet and the way that they sound in their tweets, and even the frequency with which they tweet and how they respond to controversy kind of matches what they do in, you know, videos, and I mean like Instagram lives, interviews and things like that. For example, I think Cardi B probably needs a PR person, but doesn't. Yeah,
the perfecter the perfecter of the Instagram live. If you're not aware, Cardi B, the female rapper, is just very online, very, very, very online.
Right.
But look, like, that's the kind of dangers then. If you have these doubts about vaccine information, you potentially are like a regular person, or you think, oh, I'm just having a doubts. Like many people do have certain doubts, but the difference is they don't have a loyal following of people who will then go out and buy everything you ever have made or try to defend you to the death. Now, Nicki did claim that after posting her tweet, she was locked in Twitter jail and the platform, which means the platform limited her posting. Do you think like that's a good enough situation that the platforms, you know, step in and say, well, no, like we're going to limit how much you can actually communicate with your audience? Or does Nicki potentially need to hold herself publicly accountable?
I mean, I know that there have been some questions about censorship when it comes to these things. However, with the amount, just the sheer amount of misinformation and just how high the stakes are, I understand why particular companies might decide to put certain people in Twitter jail or to deplatform certain people. And these are private companies, so, you know, they do have the right to do that. And I definitely think that there needs to be an accountability for people in general, in terms of, you know, when you have 22 million followers, and this is something that MSNBC commentator Joy Reid expressed, and which started the whole back and forth between herself and Nicki Minaj and media, that, you know, when you have 22 million Twitter followers, you do have a responsibility. It's like that Spider-Man quote, with great power comes great responsibility. You're in a position to potentially sway people from taking life-saving medicine. Now, you know, I think being hesitant or having questions, these are all natural things, but spreading misinformation that can be easily debunked, and that has been easily debunked, that's potentially very damaging. So I think celebrities have to really hold themselves accountable, and we have to hold celebrities accountable too.
How do you think this situation, this whole discussion about celebrities and misinformation, has shown a developing normalization of a culture of political tribalism?
Well, I mean, I think it shows that, you know, what we've seen in politics is not just limited politics. I think it's definitely seeping into various factions, various institutions of our lives, just various aspects of our lives. It's become a norm. My team is my team, and whatever my team thinks, I think too. You know, anti-vaccination movements and thoughts, ideas, that has been around for a while, but, you know, it's only lately that I think the alt-right has really taken control of this and really exploited it and really made it a hallmark of what it means to be a part of a particular team, a right-wing team. So you see a lot of people that may just be vaccine hesitant, but then you have people who've become anti-vaccination because they believe that this is characteristic of their particular political tribe. So this has become part of our ways of thinking. And, you know, that's potentially dangerous because it's a way of thinking that discourages critical thinking, and that may allow facts and truths to kind of go by the wayside.
Crazy, absolutely crazy to think that a logic that might have begun with like team Edward, team Jacob back in Twilight days has kind of turned into something so broad and so dangerous. Sarah, mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
That was Dr. Sarah Olatola, an associate professor of writing at Lakehead University, joining us to discuss the dangers of celebrity spreading misinformation and its contribution to normalizing a culture of political tribalism. It's